From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us today. This is Alan Cairns once again, welcoming you to Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue to look at Romans chapter 12 in our series of messages on a yielded life, the Christian's only proper response to the gospel. And in today's program, we will continue with the theme that as Christians, we should yield ourselves to God for service among the saints, and each of us should take his place in the body of the local church. And today we'll return particularly to the subject of believers dealing with each other in genuine Christian love. First, however, we have our daily devotional Bible study, which today comes from Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6. A tiny instructress, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. The earth in its daily course is an animated lesson book teaching man, the highest of its inhabitants, how he ought to apply himself to his God-given duties. Nature, while giving man lessons in diligence, cannot tell man what his duty is. Only the Bible, the revelation of God's will for man, can do that. The Shorter Catechism states, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. However, man's neighbors on this earth can teach him much about how he should perform the duty that the Bible sets forth before him. Take the ant. The ant is a tiny creature. Despite her size, she's God's example of diligent application to the duties he has given. The duty of the ant is written in her instincts, which were given by God at her creation. Generation after generation, she is persistent in that duty. Her diligence brings its rewards. She has fully provided for her winters through her labors in summer and in harvest. Devotion to duty will pay as high a dividend for us as it does for the ant. The ant knows the seasons and applies herself to the appropriate duties. She's never guilty of slumbering when she should be toiling. Now is the summer time of opportunity for the sinner. Salvation is at hand for those who call upon the Lord. What an eternal store is laid by when sinners call upon the name of the Lord while he's near. The sinner who takes the opportunity presented to him when the Holy Spirit strives with him about repentance will praise God's mercy throughout eternity, that he was given grace to avail himself of Calvary's bounty. Now is also the season for the Christian to open the door unto his Lord and hold sweet communion with him. Let us not sleep away our lives in indolence when we could be living them to the full in fellowship with Christ. Sinners and saints may miss golden days of opportunity, and all because they refuse to be as the ant. And our thought for the day, there are four steps to accomplishment. Plan purposefully, prepare prayerfully, proceed positively, pursue persistently.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me 'neath the healing, cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Thee more.
Many of you have been in touch with us to ask for the special gift offers that we make from time to time here on Let the Bible Speak. On this program, when we speak of a gift offer, we mean just that, no strings attached. In recent weeks, some of you have received Dr. Mike Barrett's excellent study in the book of Daniel, and I hope you're enjoying it. Currently, we are offering the Let the Bible Speak color wall calendar for 2007. Since this radio ministry commenced in Northern Ireland in 1973, it's appropriate that the calendar should feature some beautiful scenes from there. While our supplies last, we'll be delighted to ship your calendar to you, and we trust that it will remind you of our ministry. As you keep it before you, you'll keep us in prayer for the Lord's rich blessings on our labors. To obtain your calendar for 2007, free of charge, please write, email, or call. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. And our toll-free telephone number is 866-877-LTBS, 866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you.
Yeah.
Now it's time for us to turn back to Romans chapter 12 to continue our study of the yielded life. When the Apostle Paul spoke to the Ephesians of the way the local church should operate as a body of believers, he described how the members of the body should be fitted together, with each one contributing to the welfare of the whole body. Especially the members of the body should speak the truth to each other in love, and the whole church should grow or increase so as to edify itself in love. This is the very theme that Paul expounds in Romans 12, and that's where we will now return to our studies, emphasizing the role of genuine Christian love in the life of the church.
How do we maintain and build up the body in unity and community? We do it with love. Love has become such a loose word, bandied about. People love cars, they love food, they love pets. Love is lust, love is liking, love is any sort of fuzzy-wuzzy feeling. Whereas this is a word of will, of intelligence, of commitment. It is a love whereby we are totally given for the good of the object of that love. That's the idea in the word that's translated charity, without which we have no vibrant or real Christianity at all. So how do we maintain and build up the body in unity and community? We do it with love. We do it with the intelligent heart commitment to Christ and to the people with whom we are one in Christ. And we do it with activity. Let me tell you quite bluntly, you will not, underline it 100 times, you will not maintain and build up the body of Christ in this place, either in its unity or in its community, by sitting at home, by sitting in the sidelines, by simply being inactive. Every part of the body has its job to do. We don't all have the same office. Paul says that. We don't all have the same gift. In another place, writing to the Corinthians, if I could paraphrase him, he said, you'd have a funny looking body if your whole face was a nose, if the whole head was an ear, if you were all thumbs and all legs or all arms or all anything, you could not function. And that's the way it is in the body of Christ. And Paul actually argues strongly that parts which seem to be of lesser importance, if we only knew the truth, may be of all the greater importance. And certainly, as in the human body, the less comely parts get the most attention, so in the spiritual body, the same ought to hold true. Charity and activity. Paul puts it this way, writing to the Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. He says that we are to grow up into Him, that is Christ, in all things, which is the head, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together, and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now I confess that there are so many clauses there that the sentence becomes difficult. But if you look at it in all its individual parts, you realize there's nothing very abstruse or difficult about it. The whole body is joined together, compacted by that which is supplied by each joint. The body only makes increase. This spiritual body, as it edifies itself in love. And how does it do that? It does that by every part of the body doing its job. Or, in the language that we have used in Romans 12, by Christians responding to the gospel and yielding themselves to service among the saints. Paul mentions many, many ways in which there is service. He talks about prophecy. Many people think this was the supernatural gift of prophecy that was in the early church. Personally, I am a little skeptical of that. I'm not sure that that's what he's talking about at all. I think it's much broader than that. He's speaking about the exposition of the Word of God, the preaching of the Word in the church. And here's a word for everybody who would preach. There's a great controversy over this next thing, let him prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or literally of the faith. Most commentators believe that it's his own faith, a subjective faith, his justifying faith. And so it's saying that when the prophet prophesies or when the preacher preaches, it is to be in proportion or according to the measure of faith. It seems to be simply repeating what he has said generally in verse 3. But I think the old Protestant interpretation holds up the best. I haven't time to go into all the technical details as to why I come to this conclusion. But the old Protestant belief here was the prophet is to prophesy according to the proportion. The Greek word is the word that gives us the English word analogy. And while it may have just the meaning of analogy, it doesn't normally have, and that's why it's translated proportion here. But it's according to the proportion or the analogy of the faith. This is the great rule of pulpit preaching. We have all heard preachers get up and take some obscure text and they make it mean something like you never heard in your life before and you couldn't support from any other passage of Scripture. And sometimes it flies in the face of what you know other passages of Scripture actually teach. And Paul is saying, if you are understanding the gospel aright, it will always be according to the analogy of the faith. It will always be in line with every other part of Scripture. And without getting off the track, this is the, and although many modern scholars try to cast it off and say it puts too much of a restraint on them, it's simply because they don't believe as we do in the infallible, inspired Word of God. The old Protestant belief was right. This is one book. It is God's book from Genesis to Malachi and from Matthew to Revelation. And therefore, when you come to interpret any passage of Scripture, the fundamental law of biblical interpretation is you interpret that individual passage in the light of the general teaching of the Word of God and the subject. You never, never, never introduce an opinion into a passage of Scripture that runs contrary to the plain teaching of the Scripture on the same subject in other places. This is a great curb on every preacher. He has just said, don't think flighty thoughts. Don't get carried away in your thinking. And this is the place where you've got to start. My thinking must be captive to the Word. As Martin Luther said, my conscience is captive to the Word of God. So my interpretation must be captive to the Word of God. Then he deals with ministry, which is serving. The Word gives us the word deacon, but it's not, I think, merely speaking of the official office of the deacon. This is the word for service, and in whatever way you serve. Then he uses teaching, and then he uses exhortation. And the word can mean encouragement or consolation or comfort as well. And there's one thing to say. You'll notice the amount of that it says, let us wait on our ministering. That's very, very good translation. But the word on in every case is in. And the idea is, when you serve, you must be in the service. When you're teaching, you must be in the teaching. When you're exhorting or comforting or encouraging, you must be in that. What is Paul saying here? He's saying that these are not merely things that you do without cost, without effort, without involvement. Have you ever seen a preacher stand up there and he talks as if, well, he could be giving the weather forecast. He could be talking about some mathematical equation. Martin Lloyd-Jones, in his great book on preaching and preacher, or preachers and preaching, forget what he puts first, was constantly at pains to tell young men called to the ministry that the preacher's job is not merely conveying information. He is to convey information. The preacher is not just a mind. He is not just a mouth. He is an entire person. You don't merely preach with your brain. You don't merely preach with your words. You preach with your entire being. And if you're not in what you're doing, it's hardly worthwhile doing it. And it certainly doesn't fulfill the biblical criteria here. So he says, you've got to be in this. Then he says, when you give, the idea is sharing. When you're sharing with God's people, you do it with, and the word simplicity is with generosity. You do it with generosity. And when you're showing mercy, when you're having compassion and pity on the wretched state of someone else in the body of Christ, you do it with cheerfulness. Now, this is a list of instructions that tells us how we are to live in the body of Christ, how we are to react to the gospel by giving ourselves in service among the saints. It's all summed up in the word of verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. It's all summed up in that one word, love. Paul says, take all that I say about preaching, take all that I say about serving and teaching and exhorting and giving and ruling and showing mercy, take it all and put it together. And I'm simply saying, let love be without dissimulation. The word dissimulation means hypocrisy. Let love be unfeigned. Let love be unhypocritical. That's what he's saying. So it's true love.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now, that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.